Our first feature today is by Emma Brennan, who recalls the teddy bears she has owned over the years. It's being read by Sam Elmhurst.
You know, there are many possessions that have come and gone during my life, either consigned to the loft or given to a charity shop. But one thing that has remained within grasp at all times is my first teddy bear. Now, as I've mentioned before, I wasn't a particularly girly child, and so dolls didn't really do a lot for me. I enjoyed playing with Barbie and Cindy and Pippa dolls, along with my friends, when I was a child, but those baby dolls, including the much craved by my friends Tiny Tears, they actually gave me the creeps. I think it's because they had a mop of hair and piercing eyes with unfeasibly long eyelashes, and which I certainly did not associate with babies. The babies in our family were all virtually bald at birth, and that was the way it should be in my mind. Even then, I needed there to be a modicum of reality, something that still deters me now from getting into sci-fi films today. But teddy bears, well, they were a very different matter. They weren't supposed to look lifelike, and they were fluffy little animal creations with cute little ears and their own character. Do you know, in fact, I love them so much that I collected many over the years, each with their own names. I even joined a teddy bear charity called Good Bears of the World, and as I've previously documented, my love of Rupert the Bear and his escapades resulted in me getting a new annual every Christmas. The correct term for a collector of teddy bears is an arctophile, derived from the ancient Greek word for bear, arctos. I guess when most people think of teddy bear collectors, they envisage a jointed stiff bear, preferably that growls and dates back to the early 1900s. But my first bear is a very different creature indeed, given that I grew up in the 1970s. David, as I named him, is psychedelic yellow, flat in shape, and now full of holes. He was given to me by my dear dad the day I was born, and has remained my constant companion throughout life. I've often thought about mending David, or getting an expert from BBC TV show The Repair Shop to rebuild him, but I have resisted because, well, he just wouldn't be the same. And I do fear, however, that the day is coming when I will have to plug the holes to prevent what's left of his stuffing from exiting. And you may also note the name David is not a typical bear name. This is a pattern that emerged very quickly during my bear collecting years. My first panda bear was named Michael, although I think that was because he was gifted to me as a baby by my lovely Aunt Jean and Uncle Michael. Well, the names became more elaborate with age, and probably peaked with Cornelius, a giant bear that was bought for me in an auction by a very dear friend. Well, when my nephew came along, he started off quite wary of Cornelius, given the bear's enormous size. But it wasn't long before he was cuddling and jumping all over Cornelius. And very soon after he learnt to speak, my nephew said to me, "Cornelius," as he called him, "is obese." Well, of course, he meant obese, but given the bear's lovely round shape, it was the perfect word to describe him. And it's one I've used a lot since. As he grew up, my nephew even included Corny, as he eventually shortened the name to, in some of his madcap games. I was particularly delighted to see an old video played by the best man at my nephew's recent wedding, in which Cornelius was launched out of an upstairs window. Don't ask me about that. But as an aside, in a bid to create a similar teddy bear bond for him, I bought my nephew a bear, and I took it to the hospital maternity suite the day he was born. The bear was named Sydney, and he became my nephew's companion, even accompanying him to Australia to visit me when I lived there. My nephew was concerned that the overly zealous customs staff might confiscate Sydney, who was weighted with a beanbag in his derriere. And aged just 7 at the time, I recall my nephew telling me, "Sydney had to go through the X-ray machine to check he didn't have drugs in his bottom." Well, other notable bears over the years were Bobby, a blue and white Ipswich Town Football Club bear, which was bought for me by my granddad after a match. I was at home in bed at the time with the measles, and so he wanted to cheer me up. I was so delighted with Bobby, named after Bobby Robson, that I cried, much to Grandad's dismay, until he realised they were tears of joy. And then there was Bernard, definitely not named after Bernard Manning, I hasten to add, who was my first big bear. And Tiny Tom, who I rescued from my granddad's garden one rainy night. Grandad had tied the bear to a stick, scarecrow-like, to frighten the pigeons off his peas. Well, apart from the fact that the peas were infinitely more at risk from me eating them, the bear was rather too small to perform its task. And I cried when I saw it standing forlornly in the rain, which persuaded Grandad to retrieve and gift the bear to me. And what's more, my nan knitted Tiny Tom a smart little jacket to keep him warm. And I think, as I've grown older, it's more about the memories associated with these furry companions that really sticks in my mind, and in many cases, the loved ones who gifted the bears to me. And in my view, however tough times get and however many decades have passed by since, I wouldn't go to bed unless David was within reach, and there's still nothing quite like a quick cuddle with your favourite teddy bear to make you feel better.